This is a reading from Silent Snow, Secret Snow by Conrad Aiken, Chapter 3. The doctor was again smiling, his eyelids low against the little black pupils, in each of which was a tiny white bead of light. Why answer him? Why answer him at all? At whatever pain to others. But it was all a nuisance, this necessity for resistance, this necessity for attention. It was as if one had been stood up on a brilliantly lighted stage, under a great round blaze of spotlight, as if one were merely a trained seal or a performing dog or a fish dipped out of an aquarium and held up by the tail. It would serve them right if he were merely to bark or growl, and meanwhile to miss these last few precious hours, these hours of which every minute was more beautiful than the last, more menacing. He still looked, as if from a great distance, at the beads of light in the doctor's eyes, at the fixed false smile, and then beyond, once more at his mother's slippers, his father's slippers, the soft flutter of the fire. Even here, even amongst these hostile presences, and in this arranged light, he could see the snow, he could hear it. It was in the corners of the room where the shadow was deepest, under the sofa, behind the half-open door which led to the dining room. It was gentler here, softer. It seethed the quietest of whispers, as if, in deference to a drawing room, it had quite deliberately put on its manners. It kept itself out of sight, obliterated itself, but distinctly with an air of saying, "Ah, but just wait. Wait until we are alone together, then I will tell you something new, something white, something cold, something sleepy, something of cease and peace and the long bright curve of space. Tell them to go away, banish them, refuse to speak, leave them, go upstairs to your room, turn out the light and get into bed. I'll go with you, I'll be waiting for you. I will tell you a better story than Little Kay of the skates or the snow ghost. I will surround your bed. I will close the windows, pile a deep drift against the door so that none will ever be able again to enter. Speak to them." It seemed as if the little hissing voice came from a slow white spiral of falling flakes in the corner by the front window, but he could not be sure. He felt himself smiling then, and said to the doctor, but without looking at him, looking beyond him still, "Oh no, I think not."